Thursday, 10 March 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sure glad you tuned into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker, and we're glad to be with you for another day of broadcasting. We are continuing now in Revelation chapter 3 as we're looking at the church at Philadelphia, realizing that these were indeed churches in Asia Minor. There were seven letters that were written to them. I also believe that each of these churches represent a different segment of the church age, which I believe was activated at Pentecost and then will be completed at the rapture of the church. There are two churches that did not have to be rebuked. One is at Smyrna and the other one at Philippi. The church at Smyrna was, of course, a very much suffering church. The church at Philadelphia was a very loving church and had become a very obedient church. And you know, our Lord does not take any delight in having to chastise His children. He never chastises us or rebukes us without just cause. And thank God, though we understand that these people were not perfect, yet they were obedient as a church, and the Lord commends them for that. Let me go ahead and read to you again, beginning here in verse 7. And to the angel, or to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Now we're going to pause here. I want to share some great truths with you that I have picked up, especially from some of the writings of Alfred Barnes and also Matthew Henry. First of all, I want you to notice the characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned this on a prior broadcast. The first characteristic or the first attribute that is mentioned here concerning the Lord is that He is holy. And by the way, just as these attributes fit our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, they should also describe His work. And I'm speaking about the local church. I'm not speaking about sinless perfection like Jesus Christ was sinlessly perfect. But as evangelist Brother Jack Green used to say, since He was sinless, we certainly ought to sin less. Listen to three scriptures here that I think are so appropriate concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. The first has to do with the time before His birth. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, that is to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Here our Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as the Holy One that would not see corruption. His body would not deteriorate when He was buried. And then in Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, but ye have denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. So in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, He is identified as that holy thing. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 27, thine Holy One. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, the Holy One. And you know, just as these characteristics describe the person and character of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. The second attribute here that the Lord Jesus as is described as, is that He is true. And to the angel in the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith He that is holy, He that is true. Let me share some interesting scriptures with you that define our Lord Jesus Christ as being true. In John chapter 1 and verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, same chapter, and verse 14, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in John chapter 8, and verse 40, But now ye seek to kill me, this is Jesus speaking, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. And then in John chapter 18 and verse 37, he now is before Pilate, and Pilate is addressing him. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And if you're familiar with the scripture, Pilate would ask the question, What is truth? And then Pilate would turn and walk away. And then in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And so, first of all, he that is holy. Secondly, he that is true. John 1:9, he's the true light. John 1:14, hallelujah, he's full of grace and truth. John 8:40, a man that hath told you the truth. John 18:37, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then these three great statements here in 1 John chapter 5. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given an understanding that we may know him that is truth, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Isn't that precious? We may know him that is truth. We are in him that is true. This is the true God and eternal life. I am so glad. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 14, that wonderful promise of heaven, he said, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, what tremendous scripture. He that is holy, he that is true. And then we'll just make an introduction for this next statement here. He that hath the key of David. He that hath the key of David. Now, we were speaking about this on the very last broadcast, but we want to get more into detail on this on our next broadcast coming up. This comes from Isaiah 22 and chapter 22 and verse 22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so that he shall open, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. This was written directly concerning Eliakim, but here we also find in a prophetic sense that this describes the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we're going to get into some really rich scripture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who holds the key of David. Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 22. Well, we're down to the end of another broadcast. Let me say, it's been good to be with you for another day of broadcasting. My heart's desire is that God will bless his word to the hearts of each of our listeners, and that he will also bless these who are publishing his word. I love the verse over in the book of Psalms, The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of them that published it. And I want to express my appreciation for all the stations that are airing the Calvary Hour. We have a number of AM stations, FM stations, and also internet stations that are airing this broadcast, and I want to thank you for doing so. Our Father, bless us, we pray. Thank you that we serve him that is holy, that is true, and he hath the key of David, even our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please join us next broadcast if you can.